is our interest in your prayers this morning. As we look into the Word, written on the board, Holy Spirit Leadership in Worship, and have some preaching / teaching to share with you this morning. As we were traveling here, the Lord had given me this burden and message to share here as He led. I'd like to begin over in Psalms, the 122nd Psalm, Psalms 122, begin reading with the first verse. David, at the beginning of this psalm in my Bible, that little subtitle, I don't know what your Bible said, it said, David professes his joy for the church. Verse 1, he said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Now, I don't know what everybody's feelings or emotions or thought of are this morning, but I would that we were all glad to get up this morning and said, well, let's go to the house of the Lord to worship. Now, if you felt obligated to be here, and you're sitting in the pew because you kind of feel like people know you're in the area and you've got to be here, if there's a good possibility that you're going to go home without just a real big blessing. But when you come with an open, receptive heart to be ministered to by the Lord, This aspect of worship that we have this morning was not designed to be a hardship. When we come together to fellowship collectively, it was not meant to be a hardship or something like, well, another Wednesday night. When I was growing up, and my children, it was the same way, it was not a question of if we were going to service. If there was service in... I know there are some exceptions, things happen sometimes, but we were going to be in service because there was a value and an importance placed on the fellowship of God's people. And I find that even if I don't feel like going, and I will be the first to confess, there are sometimes I really don't feel like going to service either. Am I alone in that? But do you know that when you persevere through the feelings of the flesh, and you make that sacrifice, that the Lord is faithful to minister to your spirit. And you can go home refreshed in the Lord and renewed because you recognize there was value in it. And maybe if you didn't get it that Sunday or Wednesday, you be faithful and you'll get it the next service. God will have a special portion for you. Worship goes much beyond when we come together like this. The largest part of worship is done outside of these four walls. If we don't worship the Lord in the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit Monday morning and Tuesday, don't expect to come to prayer meeting and have this rich, anointed service because the Lord saw fit to anoint us with His presence. The anointing and presence and refreshing of the Lord comes because there are receptive hearts and receptive lives of people who love the Lord and have been worshiping Him through the week. If you want this to be a time of renewal and anointing, it means that we need to be living in a condition of worship to the Lord. So David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Let's go to the temple to worship. Now I'm thankful again that our worship doesn't have to be within these four walls. But meeting together collectively is taught us in the Scripture. It is important for us to make the sacrifice. Have you ever told someone or said, I don't have time to go to service, and please don't raise your hand. But do you realize that usually we have time to do what is important to us? People say, well, I didn't really have a lot. I couldn't really give to this need over here. But you had the money to go through McDonald's and buy a meal, and they call it a value meal, but you spent $5 or $7 and you came up with the money. But all of a sudden when it's offering time, Lord, I'm just empty. Do you realize our time is the same way? We have time to do those things that are most important to us. And I want to encourage us this morning to take time to worship. Take time for the collective coming together as a body, because we need each other, folks. There have been times that when I was on empty, came to service and someone else was on full, and I went away ministered in my spirit. I needed their testimony. I needed their expression. I was really struggling and the Lord put this scripture on my heart. And it did something to renew me, because the Spirit used you to minister to me. We need each other, folks. And we need to let the times of collective worship be a time that we have set aside and invite the Holy Spirit to come in and lead us and move us. I will say this, and I know Dad mentioned it last night, but if we don't offer entertainment here, we didn't advertise a puppet show this morning to kind of titillate the senses. We didn't bring in the videos and all these things to try to help the young people have a desire to come out to see what was going to be on the screen this morning. This is a place of worship to God. There is a time and a place for some other things in some environments, but this is time that we've set aside and said, Lord, we are setting this time that we're coming together and we need your Spirit in our midst. But I will say, if we don't have entertainment, and I don't want us to ever get there, but you know what happens if we don't have the entertainment and we don't have the anointing of the Holy Spirit? What do we have left? Nothing. There's reason to stay home. I've been in services, and I'm being very open here, that during prayer we got down to pray, and I told Renee, I said, I want to get out of here, because I want to be in a place where the anointing and power of the Holy Spirit is. But where is it going to come from, except its responsibility lies with us, that when we come, when we sing, Lord, help us to sing in the Spirit. Because there have been times, I'm guilty, you've been singing along and you get to the end of the song and you don't even know what you've been singing. Am I alone here? I was glad when they said it wasn't just a duty, it wasn't just responsibility, but it means we need to worship God with our hearts this morning. Putting in for the Holy Spirit to lead and to anoint us. Now, over in the 4th chapter of John, very familiar passage of Scripture, when Jesus was visiting with the Samaritan woman, and he told her, he said, the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshipers... Now, when there is a designation of true worshipers, that means that there can be false worshipers. Right? I'm not interested in false worship this morning. I want to know how to worship my God. And he said the true worshipers would worship the Father in what? Two things. In what? In spirit and in truth. So those are two components that the Father is looking for amongst his people. Those that really love him, he's looking for worship in spirit and in truth. And it said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Definition of worship. Talk about worship. The Greek bears out that it means to kiss. Like a dog licking his master's hand. That was the example that was given in the Greek definition of that word. To fawn or to crouch to. To prostrate oneself in homage. To do reverence. To adore. You know the Lord's looking for that this morning. That there would still be people that we are willing to come in humility of mind, in humility of spirit, that we're not here to put ourselves on display. We're not here to show how good we can sing, or how eloquent we can speak, or how loudly we can pray, or how much money we can put in the offering. But we're coming into the presence of God together saying, Lord, we need your Spirit. We need you to anoint our hearts. Folks, we are desperate this morning for the anointing of the Holy Ghost in our presence. I am desperate for the anointing of the Holy Ghost in my life through the week. But we come together like this as a time to learn, as a time to give God praise, is a time to give Him thanksgiving, is a time to recharge that we could be more able to go out into the world equipped to minister to the lost. That's the purpose of our worship. That's the purpose of our coming together. To praise. Did you hear that? To praise. How long has it been since you said praise the Lord? I'm just wondering. How long has it been since you felt inside? I'm not talking about having a competition. You know, I've read about in some of the old books, and I even heard it just recently, someone said, well, you need to go out and practice how to jump. And they would tell them, I read recently, said, go out in the cemetery and learn how to jump so in service you kind of, you know, get that hop just right. You know, this isn't about practicing how to jump, but it's about when you're singing the songs of Zion and the Holy Spirit is flooding your heart to be able and willing, Lord, I'm here to worship You. And I'm going to open up my mouth and let what in my heart flow out in genuine adoration and praise to God. Lord, we humble ourselves and we need Your Holy Spirit. Over in Exodus in the 20th chapter, and for time I'm going to reference this and we're going to move along. But in Exodus in the 20th chapter in the 8th verse, the Scripture says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That was a command that God had given to the children of Israel to set aside a day that you keep holy. You're not supposed to work on that day. You know the penalty of going out and picking up sticks on the Sabbath? The penalty was stoning. My question for Sabbath keepers today is this. If you teach that you worship on Saturday, which is the Sabbath, literal Sabbath keepers today, my question is, are you still following the law and stoning people that don't? That was the law. Now, it wasn't always observed even in the Old Testament. But that was the law. That was the penalty. God had in mind, He wanted to teach His people the importance of setting aside time and saying, Lord, this is a special time for You. Well, Acts 15:21, for Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach Him being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. So the purpose of the Sabbath, part of it was that they would read from the Word. They would share the law of God. Do you know the Lord still has a desire for the Word of God to be shared today? And we say, what Word are we supposed to share? When we come together collectively, what Word are we supposed to share? Now, do you know with a group this size, and I could say the same thing if there were five of us. But in a group this size, there are certain issues of truth that might light your fire. In other words, if someone got on and they started talking about the liberty that we have in Jesus Christ, there would be some, if you were ever to get an amen out of someone, it would be when you say, we are free from man, and we can live like we want to in Jesus Christ. And there'd be someone, oh yes, that's right. You preach it, brother, and it would get you kind of excited. And then there are other times, if someone gets preaching about the standards of modesty and holiness, there'd be someone else, oh yes, brother, preach it. So what Word are we supposed to be preaching this morning? Jesus said the Father's looking for people to worship Him in spirit and in truth. That means that all of the Word, without exception, that there's a place for the whole Word to be taught in our midst. And I want to challenge you young people, if the Word of God is coming forth and it kind of cuts across your thinking and what you want to do, understand where it's coming from. Thus saith the Word of the Lord. That, Father, part of my worship is maybe I'm falling a little bit short on this line. But, folks, it is the Word that will keep us balanced. We are living in an age of much spiritual compromise. And it's right among the camp. And the answer is the fullness of the preaching of the Word. And that doesn't change people by itself. All of us have a decision to make. But to the ministers this morning, I would say in the fear of God, preach the Word. Paul said that we weren't here to, he wasn't a man pleaser. I'm not here to make everybody like me and preach what I know will kind of cater to what crowd I'm preaching to. But the Word of God is the standard that God has set wherever it falls. Yes, liberty in Christ Jesus, but then use not your liberty as an occasion to the flesh. It's the whole Word of God working together that will keep us balanced as a people. So Lord, help us to worship Him in truth and in spirit. Revelation 1:10, John, speaking of John the Revelator, he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Now we find John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. We'll just take a few minutes to briefly address this thought, that when we assemble, it has been a traditional practice to worship on Sunday. Now, the law was to worship on Saturday. That was the Sabbath. But in the New Testament, Jesus fulfilled something. When He came, He fulfilled that every day was to be holy unto the Lord. The principle of holiness was instituted in a very physical way in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, that was done away with because Jesus came to give us rest, that every day is to be a day of worship. Every day is to be sacred unto the Lord. In other words, understand, I know we dress up a little bit sometimes. It's getting less and less when we come together in worship service. But you know, the standard that I wear on, the clothes I wear on Monday ought to be the same as the standard as I observe on Sunday. The standard of conduct, the standard of attitudes that I have and how I present myself, it ought to be the same day after day after day. The saints of God are standing on a sea of glass, standing on the Word of God with transparency that what you see is what we are. This is what we believe. I am not, as Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. Folks, the Word of God has the power to transform. But the Word of God must be coupled with the Spirit of God. So when we come, it's like Brother James Bell said, I like a little milk with my Wheaties. You know, sometimes you can just, and I thought about the little children's song. I remember hearing just a little boy said, a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. And I thought, you know, we can take truth and try to cram it down people's throats, but that doesn't change the life. It's the personal dealings of the Holy Spirit that gives the Word life, as we heard last night, that will change our hearts. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. It was the practice of the early morning church to meet together on the Lord's day, which was Sunday. It was never commanded in the New Testament that I can find that He said, thou shalt meet on Sunday. But it was the practice of the early morning church, and it has followed through, that we generally meet on Sundays because they begin that practice because that's the day the Lord rose from the dead. Jesus rose from the dead. And we don't find them keeping Saturday as a holy day unto the Lord. There are still many people and many movements that or Sabbath keepers. But there is something better than keeping the Sabbath, and it is living a holy life, day after day, walking in the Spirit. But what we were commanded or taught to do, we will find over in Hebrews in the 10th chapter. He said, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking. Now, this sounds like godly instruction. He said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Now, this was written quite some time ago. You know, I think they probably dealt with some of the same problems that we have today. Do you know coming to worship service collectively is not going to save anybody? You know, you can come to collective worship service and leave just as carnal as you walked in the door. But yet there is opportunity. There's opportunity in our walk with God, folks. We need that source of strength. And the instruction was not the forsaking of the assembling of yourself together, as the manner of some is. I have taken note through the years that one of the areas that the enemy begins to work on when people begin to get lean in their soul, this is just one small part, but that's the part that I have the burden to preach on this morning. So don't say, Brother Michael said this, it's one small part. That one thing that begins to happen is people start losing their faithfulness to assemble themselves with the people of God. Because there's something about it that I'm being drawn to the world, and I have other priorities. I have other things to do with my time, and I don't want to be made feel, I don't want to feel guilty. You know, coming to service should not be about feeling guilty. I was glad. Lord, the Scripture says, great peace have they that what? Love thy law and nothing shall offend them. Have you ever been offended at what was preached? Well, they should have just said it differently. You know, the preachers get too much blame. If you're going to blame the preacher, first of all, examine, was it truth? Is it the Word of God? If it is, don't take it up with the minister. Take it up with God. Look in the mirror of the Word and don't go away, because it's a lot easier to say, well, they should have presented it differently, or it wasn't a good time, or they were a little bit hard, or they didn't show enough love. Do you realize this morning we're living in a time people don't want to do business with God themselves, and so they start blaming this and blaming that. If it's truth, take it to the Lord in prayer. But if you love the Lord and you're willing to do whatever God calls for, do you know what we do when the Word of God kind of, people say, steps on our toes? It's, Lord, I'm not there. Lord, would you help me? Would you help me to grow? I see I have needs in my life. Lord, would you help me to grow in that area of my life? Lord, help us to have that spirit this morning, a spirit that we can be teachable. We can allow the Holy Spirit to take His Word and lead us in our worship. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Folks, we are living in the last of the last days. Time is short, and we need to be in a place where we can feed together and sit together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, that we can edify one another and exhort one another in the things, the battles that I'm facing. When the Lord comes in and gives me a victory and I share what the Lord has done and how the Lord dealt with me, then the Lord can come and start working and using that in your life. And you can be a blessing to someone else. Whether there's 3 or 4 of us that come together, or whether there's 50 or 100, those numbers are not what's important. But what's important is, Lord, I recognize the value. And we're not coming, again, to be entertained, but we are in need of the Holy Spirit to lead us in this worship. Scripture teaches us in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4, said there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, differences of administration, but the same Lord, differences of operation, but the same God which worketh in all. We all have different callings. The Lord has given everybody a different gift. And if you don't know what your gift is, God has a place for all of us to fill in the body of Christ. And I know, and as we grow older, and especially young people, as you're growing into adulthood, and there's a struggle seeking for God's plan for your life, know that God has a plan for you. And the operation of the gifts of God are operated most of the time outside of these four walls. Don't forget that. Too many times people think, well, God didn't call me to preach, so there's nothing to do for God. No, this is just a very minute part of our worship and service to God. The Lord has a place for you in the kingdom of God. But when we come together collectively, there are differences of administration. And I know I've shared here before, but when I was little,
I was a very young boy, and I thought, if I ever preach, I'd like to preach like so-and-so. I could tell you his name today, but you know what? That brother's not walking with God today. He got mixed up things in his life. I don't want to preach like him. Lord, you gave me a unique calling. I don't have to preach like Brother Bob. I don't have to preach like someone else. Lord, I want you to use me like you see fit. So don't allow the enemy to cause you to think that you can't do it like someone else can. Thank God for that. Can you imagine if everybody, I don't even know if I want to ask this, if everybody was like me, can you imagine what it would be like when we came together? Do you know what it would be like if everybody was like you? But what we need to recognize is God has a special, unique place for all of us to fill. And so when we come together collectively, I'm not sure I want to know what all the things that were just thought. But what we want to recognize is when we come together to worship, we need the Holy Spirit to work in our life because all of us are important in the kingdom of God. And the Lord wants us to be active participants. Active participants. The little boy that went home from Sunday school and he told his mother, he said it was the best Sunday school ever. She said, why? What happened? And he said, I prayed. He found a blessing from God when he was willing to actively participate. We're not talking about saying, well, I'm just going to do whatever I see. Looking and asking the Holy Spirit, Lord, would you guide me and is there something I can do for you? Lord, when it's time to pray and get down to pray, you know these long silences? Now, there's nothing wrong with silence sometimes. We need that as part of prayer, but if we're just kind of waiting, Lord, and things start getting awkward, I wonder, is the Lord kind of tugging on anybody's heart? Is there anybody that kind of feels that? You start maybe getting a little short of breath. You kind of start feeling that tug. You start feeling a little nervous, and nobody can even see. You're on your knees. You know, that's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit saying, I want you to pray. That's Holy Spirit leadership. We weren't handed a program when we came in this morning. Saints, we don't need a program. But when we are led by the Holy Spirit, it doesn't mean that it's chaos. Now, the scripture was read last night, where the Spirit is, there is liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Folks, we have a wonderful heritage of teaching and practicing Holy Spirit leadership in our collective worship services. I don't ever want to see us get away from it. Some people think, then, well, at Holy Spirit leadership, I can just do whatever pops in my mind. Have you ever been in services where it seemed like that was going on? That's not Holy Spirit leadership. Holy Spirit leadership is being quiet in the Holy Spirit. It's speaking in the Holy Spirit. It is seeking God and learning how to know the moving of the Holy Spirit. And I know that it takes people time to learn the voice of the Spirit. So that means we need to be considerate of one another. And we need to have a lot of long-suffering sometimes with one another. Maybe someone gets up out of order and they really thought the Holy Spirit was leading them to do something. And everybody else is just sitting there thinking, oh, the Lord's in this. Well, this is where the saints can be long-suffering and forgiving and loving and supportive. And through time, do you know, as we mature in the Lord, we start recognizing the voice of the Holy Spirit a little bit more. And you know, there's times that all of us sometimes realize we made a mistake. And then we can be thankful for mercy of others. But we want to be seeking God to lead us by His Holy Spirit. In our song service, let's be led by the Holy Spirit. Let's seek the Lord for greater anointing. There is nothing like a Holy Ghost anointed filled song service. Is that right? And it's part of our worship. It's part of what we're supposed to, it's part of what the Scripture teaches us to do. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit.
speaking to yourselves in psalms and in hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That's part of our worship. So when we come and sing, you know, I don't need to say may. I don't get every note right all the time. You know, I may not hit it all, but you know, the Lord is looking for a heart of worship. That, Lord, I love you. I praise you. Lord, thank you that I can be an overcomer through the power of Jesus Christ. And it starts giving life to these songs. Sing in the Spirit. Now, it's noteworthy that in the New Testament, there is a glaring absence of the use of musical instruments. Sometimes people say, well, why aren't musical instruments used? Well, true worship is something from the heart. True worship is something from the heart. And I can bang on a drum all day long, and you know, in and of itself, that doesn't bring any glory to God. But what brings glory to God is a heart that is lifted up in worship. Now, in the Old Testament, they did use musical instruments. In the Old Testament, people say, but Brother Michael, David said to do it. Well, I'll tell you, the Old Testament also taught us to do a lot of other things too. If because David did it, does that mean we're going to burn incense when we pray? Does that mean we're going to bring in the fatted calf and offer it as a sacrifice on the altar? Because David did it, so Brother Michael, you're not being consistent here. No, it was a type of something better to come in the New Testament. The glory of God fell down in their worship when they had built the tabernacle and the then Solomon's temple according to the plan. It talked about the priests and the singers and those with musical instruments. They sounded in harmony and in oneness. And the glory of God came down. Do you know the Lord is looking for unity amongst His people today? That's where the glory of God's going to come down. Lord, help us to be one as you are one. The glory doesn't come because of a musical instrument. The glory comes from the unity and oneness of spirit, living in holiness that God says, I approve. And He sends His Holy Spirit to anoint. Now, the Scripture also teaches, in Acts 17, verse 24, it said, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. That's not where God dwells anymore. It's not these four walls. He's talking about the temple of your heart. He doesn't dwell in temples made with hands. Neither is He worshipped with men's hands. God isn't worshipped with men's hands as though He needed anything, seeing He giveth to all life and breath and all things. Talking about the idols, He's not worshipped with the things that we can create and the things that we can do. In the Old Testament, He was. We're burning the incense. We're playing the musical instruments. But there is a great... We don't say, oh, well, we can't do that. No, we don't have to do that today. We have something better in the Lord that we can come with a heart that's holy before the Lord and worship Him in spirit and in truth. And we don't need something to fill in the gaps. But we need the Holy Spirit. Because if we don't have that anointing, then that's when we say it's time to pull some musical instruments in. Because if the Spirit's not there, we need something to fill in the gap. Folks, the answer is not filling in the gap with something else that we do because of our ingenuity or our natural abilities. What we need to do is say, Lord, would you lead us by your Holy Spirit? Would you give inspiration? Would you enable us, Lord, to worship you acceptably? Most of the major, even the major denominations in our world today, people think the saints of God are a little strange sometimes because we don't use musical instruments in collective worship. Now understand, at home, we have a piano. There's a couple guitars in the house. Say, Brother Michael, you preaching against that? No, I'm not preaching that. Have I ever been edified standing around playing the piano and singing? Yes, I have, thank God. I've also been edified sitting in front of the stove cooking an egg, too. In other words, just because I've been edified in where the heart being edified doesn't mean we bring all the activities in. So there's a place and a time for all these things. But collectively, when we are setting aside time to devote to the worship of the Lord, He wants your heart. He doesn't want a substitute. He wants your heart. And the early morning church, I have found no record of the early morning church using musical instruments. It's glaringly absent in the New Testament. And I'll go further. Most of the major denominations, I was telling you, did not use musical instruments early on. Musical instruments really did not begin to be reintroduced in collective worship until the late 19th or early 20th century. I know the Catholic Church brought some in the 1500s, but collective, generally among Protestant churches, they did not come back in until there was an effort and a move to be a little more like the world, and they began to bring entertainment in. And so you can look at a lot of the history of movements in the United States, and you will find that one time they taught that it was not acceptable in their worship. So just for you young people to know, we're not the strange ones this morning, if that's any benefit to you. But our desire is to worship the Lord. And it's just like divine healing is not just, I'm not going to the doctor. It's about an act of trust in God. Worship is not just, well, we don't use musical instruments, so our worship is acceptable. No, that's not it either. It's that our hearts are in tune with God and the Holy Spirit is anointing and moving among us as a people. That when people come in, they don't say, oh, they don't have musical instruments. They ought to be saying, I hear the Spirit of God. I hear the anointing. I feel the presence of the Lord in this place. It's not because we don't have the musical instruments. It's because they can feel the presence of the Lord because you brought Him in your life because you've been living holy through the week. So I say, Lord, help us then to open up our hearts and allow the Spirit of the Lord to lead us and bless us in our worship. There is a price to pay for Holy Spirit leadership. I know I'm stepping back for just a moment, but there's a price to pay. That means from time to time someone will get up out of order. Someone that maybe is not qualified, someone that just... But do you know, what's the option? The only option to that is man rule and say we're going to organize and program the service so we know exactly what's going to happen. And I will say there are some times and some situations where you are ministering to mainly carnal people that there is a place of administration for a little bit more control as ordered by the Spirit. If you don't understand that, we don't have time to get into all the depths of that this morning. But as a people of God, as a people where there are others that are filled with the Spirit, the only option to precluding anybody from ever being out of order is a program. I'm willing to pay the price. I'm willing to, Lord, help us to be loving and long-suffering. But we need to be led by the Spirit. Led by the Spirit in our singing. And I realized, and it was in a minister's meeting when the Lord really showed me this. I had just started my ministry. I think I was 19 or 20 years old, and I was sitting in the minister's meeting, and someone had given a lesson, and there were about, I think, probably about 50 of us in this group. And after the brother gave the lesson, people just started talking, just all around the room, just started sharing their thoughts and kind of go. And I have some thoughts too. And the Lord spoke to me and said, every thought you have isn't to be shared. And I thought, Lord, help me to learn that lesson. Do you know when we come to services like this, if someone was inspired with something and the Lord blessed you and gave you some thoughts, thank God, that's the purpose of coming together. It's not necessarily every thought we have is to be gotten up and publicly talked about. So then the purpose is, Lord, with the things that you share with me and the things you give me, would you help me to know the voice of your Spirit to know when it is time to share? Because an anointed exhortation is wonderful. There is nothing, there is no substitute for an anointed exhortation, not just from a minister, but saints from you. When the Lord has anointed your heart and He's blessed your heart and the Lord is moving you to speak, then please don't make the rest of us suffer. Get up and share what God has given. But we need to learn the difference and be led by the Spirit. And I believe the Scripture says that the labor must be first partaker of the fruit. We need to be living what we're preaching. And I know that when that means I think about exercising in the Holy Spirit, it starts at home. I know there are people that come to camp meeting and they're on fire and they're trying to get everybody else wound up and everybody's dead and they're just trying to work this thing. And I'm sitting back thinking, where were you last Sunday? Where were you last Wednesday? I haven't seen you for weeks, and then you come to camp meeting. You're trying to get everybody. Holy Spirit leadership and worship starts at home, folks. So I told them at Guthrie a couple weeks ago, and I taught my home congregation, if you don't pray in your home congregation, don't start a camp meeting. If you don't preach in your home congregation, don't start a camp meeting. If you don't exhort at home and you don't sing special songs at home, don't start a camp meeting. It's not the time to start exercising, but exercise in the place that God has put you and begin to learn with people that know you the best, where there's some spiritual leadership to help guide and direct you. You young people will save yourself some heartache if you'll get hold of that lesson. Let the Lord lead you in your home congregation. Got a call from someone, my wife did one time, and they said they had a burn to teach the young people at Monarch. So Renee asked me about it, and I said, well, here's my question. Are they teaching the young people in their home congregation? This burden that they have they shared that there? And are they working with their pastor? The answer was no. And I said, then they don't need to be going to a large camp meeting and starting out trying to share a burden they have for the young people. You understand? This is just basic teaching and advice. But Lord, help us to get hold of it. The Lord needs some Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit-filled people that will answer the call to prayer. The Lord's looking for that. Do you know that in the Old Testament, I said there were sacrifices and incense, and they used musical instruments in very fleshly worship. But do you know that sacrifices are also part of our collective worship in the New Testament? There's a place for sacrifice. And I know I mentioned, but I would just like to read the Scripture in the book of Hebrews, the 13th chapter and the 15th verse. He said here, by Him therefore let us offer the sacrifice. So if we think that all sacrifices are done away with in the New Testament teaches the offering of sacrifice. He said, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Continually. In other words, not just on Sunday, not just on Wednesday. You know, some of the greatest worship services I've had have been out in my study. I call it my little sanctuary. There's been a few times I think the children, my wife, heard me rejoicing out in my study that's outside apart from the house. Do you know that's what the Lord wants? Offering the sacrifice of praise. Continually. That is the fruit of our lips. Giving thanks to God. Folks, again, if it's in our heart, the Lord's saying, is there anybody that will be willing to offer a sacrifice of praise? And see, what's happened is, sometimes that pendulum, you know, just like on compromise and fanaticism, that pendulum swings a little too far to either side. You know, with giving a praise, the same thing has happened. Well, we don't want to be associated with this group over here. We don't want people to think we're like them over there. But if anybody has a right or a privilege to praise the Lord, do you know who it is? It's God's people. It's people that are living holy lives, walking with God through the day, through the week, that talking with God and pleasing God and working for God and laboring for Him. And then when we come together collectively, I don't want it to be that people come in regularly and think, are these people just living on tradition? A has-been people, you know, that old wax museum that relates what used to be? Or do they see people that still have the zeal and the fire and the anointing of the Holy Ghost? Folks, that's not something that's worked up. That's something that we find through the week living for the Lord, that we come together, then we can minister to each other through the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Anointing is so important in our life. I'd like to address briefly, when we talk about anointing, anointing is God's approval. That's what anointing is. It doesn't mean the preacher has to reach so many decibels to be anointed. You know, there can be high decibel preaching that's not anointed. And there can be soft preaching that's not anointed. Anointing is God's approval. It's God's approval on the life, and God's approval on what's being said, and God's approval in ministering to those that are hearing. Anointing. So some say, well, how do we get God's anointing? It comes from seeking the face of God. Sunday school teachers, I encourage you, seek God for inspiration. Anointing and God's approval is oftentimes found through the inspiration of the Word of God. We say, well, in young people, we say, well, how does someone get a message from the Lord? It's more than just taking the Bible and getting a commentary and a strong and saying, well, what subject should we look at today? That's a good one. I think I'll try to find a few coordinating scriptures there and correlating scriptures and share those things. Folks, that's a sermon. We want to come together in our worship and have messages from the Lord. That means it's going to take prayer time. It's going to take studying. It's going to be praying and seeking God until you find the inspiration for what you've been studying. Inspiration is so important in Sunday school. It's important in singing. It's important in praying. And it is very important in the preaching of the Word of God. Amen? Amen. Inspiration. Seeking for it. Seeking for the moving of the Spirit of the Lord. And there are times that there are needs. When we come together collectively, Paul told Timothy, he said, be instant in season and out of season. And there are some times that there may feel more inspiration. But here's some counsel, advice for us. When there is a lack in collective worship, it's not for those that are new in the faith to think, well, I see a need, so I'm going to step up and kind of fill that gap. That would then be the responsibility of those that are operating within that call. Well, no one really got up to preach real quick, so I can share a few things. No, if you're a young minister, for example, if the Lord ever calls some of you young people to minister the Word of God, you wait for the leadings of the Holy Spirit. You work in conjunction with spiritual leadership. Be led of the Lord. But if there's a place that there's a need to say, well, I guess I'll do that, because it's a place to let the out of season be to the seasoned. It's a place to let those that have been are laboring for the Lord and have some qualifications within that call to move out. And you wait for that inspiration and leadership of the Holy Spirit. I hope that makes sense to you this morning. Exercising within duty comes with a special call. It comes with a special call. There are areas, and we're going to try to... We don't want to be run by the clock. We want to be run by the Spirit. Let me say a point about that. We're talking about Holy Spirit leadership and worship. You know, it's important, whether it's song leading or the preachers or whoever's kind of emceeing the services, to be aware of people's attention span, isn't it? Now, I know some people think their attention span is about 5 minutes and it's time for the preacher to sit down. And others may be, hey, preach on, it's fine, the Lord's blessing it. Go on an hour and a half. And we could do that this morning. Don't be scared. But do you know that there are areas to be cognizant of the fact that sometimes we can only retain so much? And sometimes you can start getting too much of a good thing and you forgot what you've even heard. So it's important for us. I mentioned just recently, and I say again, if the Lord ever calls some of you all to lead the singing, you have a great place of responsibility. It concerns me a little bit when the song leader, and Dad, I'm not talking about you, didn't see you doing this, but it concerns me a little bit, if especially in our meetings, and it's some counsel that we need to take hold of. We weren't handed a program. We want to sing as the Holy Spirit gives us to sing. So I don't have to say, well, I've got to sing for a set amount of time and then it's time for prayer. So I've been in services where the Lord was anointing to sing and we have long song services and God blessed it. But I've also been times where there was a few songs sung, and you know, two or three songs sung, and it wasn't that God wasn't in it, but the Spirit of the Lord saying it's time to move on for some other things. But we've got to sing for 10 more minutes. So people are thumbing through the book and just kind of shifting, someone trying to find something to fill in the gap. Folks, we believe in Holy Spirit leadership. So if the Lord's done with the singing and someone doesn't feel the inspiration for a song, then let's approach the Lord in prayer. Or maybe the Lord has something else that He's leading us to do. So we need to learn to be in tune with the Spirit of the Lord. And we don't want to put God in a box this morning. There are areas of protocol, and we really don't have time this morning, so we're going to leave some of that. But there are areas of protocol in worshiping the Holy Spirit. Worshiping under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, there are areas of protocol and carefulness, and the young are giving due preference and deference to the elder. That's scriptural. But then it goes on to say, yea, all of you be what? Subject one to another. So sometimes people can put, God, I've seen ministers and I've seen people come from different parts of the country being taught differently. Being taught different protocols. I watched this happen, and someone does something a little different, and they say they broke protocol, but I know that this elder minister was teaching a little different. So we want to be cognizant of these things, but most of all, we want to give the Holy Spirit room to work as He wants to work. Give you an example. In large meetings, and I'm not even talking about here, but when you have a lot of people and a lot more ministers, do you know it's normally the acceptable thing, and the Lord normally would lead this way, that an evening service where there's lots more visitors might be more geared to evangelism. Messages to reach out to the lost or call to get closer to the Lord, evangelistic type messages. That doesn't mean the Lord can't move and send something different than that. Because He does do that. But it's good for those that are ministering to be aware that a lot of times there's a, I won't say protocol, don't get me in trouble for using that word, but there's a place to be sure that if the message maybe isn't geared that way, that we are sure that we move in the Spirit of the Lord. And when the Lord says move, we need to move. A couple years ago, I was somewhere at a meeting, and I should have broken protocol, and I didn't. Because I was kind of wondering what everybody would think about me. I don't know if anybody else ever does that or not. But it was getting close to time for the message, and the Lord spoke to me and said, get up. And I didn't, because I thought people would think He's kind of jumping the gun here a little bit. I have gotten up before prayer and preached before. I have done that. And I did it in the Holy Spirit. And I don't know what would have happened if I didn't. But I sat there too long, and the Lord had said, get up. And I sat there and someone got up that wasn't qualified, they were out of order, and there's things that went across the pulpit that weren't true. I told the pastor afterward, I said, I'll take my part of the licking. I'll take my part because I should have gotten up. The Lord told me to. Do you see how important it is for us to be led by the Spirit? Yeah. Lord, help us to let the Spirit of the Lord lead us and move us. Respect the calling of each other. It's not about personality. It's not about performance. It's not about the natural abilities. But it is about a consecrated life, letting God use us outside these four walls as well as within them in our collective worship. It is the youth. You young people have something so wonderful to offer. There is a zeal of youth that I would that the old be filled with the zeal of youth. But you know, it takes the zeal of youth and the experience of the aged. Little seasoning does some good for us. Do you realize it takes all of us working together? It takes all of us working together, even when we come together like this, for the anointing of the Lord to minister to all of us like He wants to minister to. The Lord wants us to be an active participant in His kingdom. May the Lord bless us this morning. The Lord has a place for all of us to fill in the body of Christ. I want it to be, and I would, and my heart's desire, that our worship services would be anointed by the Spirit. It wouldn't be because we don't do this and don't do that. It's about worshiping the Lord in a way that's pleasing to Him. And the acceptable worship, folks, is found in spirit and in truth, but it takes us opening up our heart, being willing to exercise, willing to keep quiet when we need to keep quiet, but most of all saying, Lord, we're here to worship. So may the Lord bless you. Amen.